Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back at you here on a getaway Friday night, Friday, March the 6th, 2026. How about that? 12 and a half minutes past the hour, 63 degrees in clear skies, a beautiful Friday night here in the Marion area. And the phones continue to light up here today on what has been, this is hour number, what is it, 7 today. We'll go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Scott E.S. Pears, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you good. How you doing, Adam?
I couldn't hear that. Then I heard Ted, so, oh, we're okay. It's nice and rainy here, like I'm sure it is in other cities in the Midwestern United States of America.
No rain here today that I could see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, lucky us.
Weather app said there were raindrops, and I think the weatherman said so, but what does he know, right? He seems to have, the weatherman seems to have graduated to a different kind of media.
Well, I don't know.
Instead of hearing his dulcet tones, you can see his face. So, did you watch the program live by chance, Scott? You got the video that I sent you.
I did see the video. No, I didn't get a chance to watch it live because I was here. We were doing the taping Wednesday night, but I did see the video.
Okay. It just, I have a kind of an adjustment to my name, Scott. I have different names for you. I like Scott ESP, Scott ES Pairs. But my name is now Adam L, and L is for elevator. Because my, although I was actually seen, and actually some of my colleagues pointed this out, briefly, at least twice in that trilogy, but it's not as obvious it's me. But if you look carefully, you can see top of my head or other parts of my body. My very conspicuous TV debut was in the elevator with an actress who's been acting, actually probably longer than you've been alive, not as long as I've been alive, but close. And I almost consider her to be an idol because she is such an excellent actress. She was a main cast member on Law & Order for 16 years. So when they filmed that scene, I kind of got the feeling I might get lucky. And it's actually a little bit better because normally they blur the background people out. But they actually showed my face in clear view for a couple seconds. So I was just thrilled when I saw that. You should have seen me, Scott, when I was watching it live because I had no idea what they're going to show. I kind of screamed and couldn't believe it, and said, my gosh.
Now, what kind of noise do you think you make? Can you recreate the moment for us, Adam?
Well, I'm driving. No one will hear me. It's like,
ah! What?
Then I thought of a, that was, actually I wrote down on my phone what I was going to tell you, but I remembered. That was the first thing. But the second thing was, that's why they tend to call it extra, a background actor, because you are acting. And not only that, you're not using your voice, and with me, my voice is one of my top tools. I think it's a tool that I have, and something you're born with, and you can certainly improve it, but there's only so much you can do. And I think I have an above-average voice in terms of appearance. Well, I'm regularly told I'm good-looking, and even my colleagues today were telling me how nice my skin was, which I was very happy to hear. But again, when you are shown through a camera, it is a very, very different experience. And so your expressions, again, you don't necessarily have to be good-looking, just you're coming across as a regular person. In my case, just a nurse who works in a large hospital in Chicago, and there's a crisis, as there was a flight, and all the passengers died. That was the main premise of the show, but there was some suspense, which they pretty much solved toward the end. And then I'm, again, put in a scene with Patha Merkerson. Whether or not you've heard of her, again, she is one of the most well-known and respected female actors around. Again, I'm Law & Order for Anita Van Buren for 16 years on a very good episode of Frasier and hundreds of other shows. She's won many awards, and she does charity work for diabetes and other causes. So it's an honor, I mean, to be in the same room with this woman, let alone be on the same elevator. And I was just thinking, as I said, I've been kind of talking with some veteran extras, just some tricks on how to get yourself on camera, get a more favorable angle. But this, I kind of used my own idea. because I, when they put me there with the other two people and Patha Merkerson, I got kind of as close as I could to her without looking like I was trying to hog the scene and them telling me to move back. So I did time that out perfectly. Because, and also when you see, if you see her walking away, you actually see me in the background blurred for about another second. So that is pretty cool. And if that's my TV debut, national, I've been on local TV many times. Well, not many times, but a few times, and not recently. But if that's my national TV debut and streaming TV debut, I am more than happy. And we just filmed two more episodes of Med. We did so many scenes I can't even remember. But I'm sure my face will be featured a couple times, and of course I'll make reports about it. So that's my little spiel. Hopefully listeners listened. I wrote down exactly where you can go. If you go on NBC.com to the last episode in the trilogy, which is actually a PD episode, even though it's that part's really Med, but they're all kind of pushed together for this special presentation last Wednesday. If you fast forward it to a certain point, that's when you can see my scene. It follows the scene where the guy is foaming at the mouth on the hospital bed. So if anybody wants the exact time frame, just tell them to message me or message the station, and I'll provide that. But just watch the last hour, which is Chicago PD, the most recent episode. I think it's 13. And you can get it from NBC.com at no charge. So pretty cool stuff. I don't imagine anybody's called, Scott, with their assessments of the program. I know I asked you, but I've not been able to listen because I've been there all day.
No, I don't remember any. But, you know, like I said, television is such a different thing now. Even primetime network television, people don't really sit and watch television anymore, and it's such a diminished audience from where it once was. I think it's tough. It's very tough for people to, you know, I did not realize until we started having these conversations, you know, Bob Welsh from Columbus sent me a National White Castle commercial that he was in. And a lot of people sent me things from the Shawshank Redemption, and then the movie that was filmed on Leroy Jenkins, which was a national movie, I can't remember the title of it, that was filmed here in Marion. A lot of people were in that. So it's a very, I guess, shared experience between a lot of people.
Yeah, I said, you know, with it is different based on how an extra or a background actor is used, because we can't talk, although, because they don't want the microphones to pick it up. Because, you know, what they use is these big microphones on this tremendous metal stick, and they pick up everything. But if you're not near the microphone, you can kind of mumble. So if I haven't wanted, and we had many of those scenes today and earlier in the week, what I'll do, you know me, always joking around. So when I'm told to, like, talk to one of the other extras as part of the scene, I'll just start telling jokes or something, or, you know, look at a patient chart and just make up some disease or something, and, you know, being a hospital. So, But if the microphone is really close, we can't see anything. All we got to do is move our lips. Oh, this is what I was thinking. Anybody who's been an extra, Scott, you know, maybe has read about, because I've been reading about how to be a better extra, etc. What works well, and basically the advice is pretend you're saying walla 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 walla, because that look, or watermelon too is something else people sometimes say, but say it really quietly so they don't pick it up, because you can't be on the microphone, and so to say that real quickly. I was thinking like Walla Walla Washington, so I didn't know if maybe Walla Walla Washington has a museum for extras, or there's like an extra training school there or something, because they're using that word Walla Walla. So I didn't know if that was the case, but I thought it was kind of amusing. The other thing I was thinking, this is what I remember, that expression that I had, if you look at the elevator scene, you notice I kind of have like an expression type of a and that's why I think they kept the scene, because I look like I was surprised, because the big boss, Patha Merkerson, plays Sharon Goodwin, who is the nurse who's in charge of the doctors and everybody else, and everybody looks up to her and respects her, because she's the boss, she hires and fires. So I was on the elevator with her, which was exciting enough, but, you know, being an RN, which is what I played, I was there with getting ready to treat or some other way attend to a plane accident. Everybody died due to, you'll find out if you watch the show, let's put it that way. And so I used kind of my expression to build it, which is what they wanted me to do. And so what I was thinking of was our visitor, of course, Don Knotts' daughter, whom I had the great pleasure of being photographed with and interviewing, etc. Her father, of course, as you know, Scott, was an absolute master, to put it mildly, of expression acting. his expressions on Three's Company, one of my favorite shows, were just priceless as Mr. Furley. So maybe there was channeling from Don Knotts, having met and getting to know his daughter, and that kind of helped with my ability to go from strictly voice, where it doesn't matter what you're doing, to doing something strictly on camera without your voice. So, Don Knotts, if you're up there in heaven, I want to thank you, because he probably influenced me, because he's certainly a favorite actor of mine. So those are the two little anecdotes, Scott, that I was thinking of. I was kind of writing that down on my phone while we were between scenes today. So, but that might be intriguing. And again, folks, watch the show. If you've never watched Chicago Med, it's like ER, like St. Elsewhere, those medical shows. It's connected with Chicago Fire and Chicago PD. They have plots that go back and forth. A lot of the actors are on all three shows. It was a three-hour marathon crossover, all three shows coming together, aired Wednesday 2/11 Eastern. If you watch on NBC.com, you can watch it if you missed it. And if you go, it's approximately 25 minutes without the commercials, about 25 minutes into the third segment. That's approximate. Again, if you need the exact time, you don't want to watch the entire show, just text me and I'll get that number for you, because I wrote it down. And that's where you will see me, and again, the aforementioned female TV superstar on an elevator, along with some others, but I'm in clear view, which is kind of cool. So that's my little claim to fame for this week, Scott, so kind of exciting, and we'll just see what comes of it. And for now, I'll remain, of course, as your esteemed weatherman and everything else that I do for the station.
Well, that sounds good, Adam.
We don't play rock, but we certainly do rock.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely fantastical, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, Adam, congratulations, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Okay, anything you wanted to ask me, or is Matt there? Do you want to ask me anything?
I don't know. You got anything, Matt?
Not that I can think of, no.
I think you covered the waterfront there, Adam.
Matt was just hearing me yap, 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 so I didn't know if he wanted to say anything. Because, you know, I think it's because I've not been able to talk. I've been doing this thing where I just show my face and I pantomime. Now I can finally talk. So I think I've had enough to say. And we'll let Naomi call, because she always has some voice of reason for us.
I don't know that we've heard from her today. But that's good.
Naomi, well, that's unusual, not hearing from Naomi.
I don't think we heard from her yesterday either.
Sometimes I wonder if this is actually her show or if it's your show. So
If the guest is talking more, I'm just like tonight, Adam. I'm pleased when the guests talk more. Less for me to do.
Okay, guys. Well, have a lovely show. We'll talk to you later. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye. All right, Adam Lepp, the computer guy. There you go. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I do think it's interesting when people, as I said earlier in the week, do things that are a little outside the box. And I think that's an outside the box thing to do. I think that's good.
I agree, yeah. I mean, it's certainly not something that, you know, most people do.
Well, I think it's like community theater. I think it's like anything that you do that you really just like doing. And it's always hard to explain to people the differences and nuances between those type of things. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, one of Don Knotts' best performances, I think, was in The Ghost of Mr. Chicken.
Yeah, I think that was probably his best. I don't think he did anything better than that in his career. I really do. I think that is such a funny movie.
Yeah.
And holds up well.
Adam talked about the expressions, you know, that Don Knotts can make. You know, he used them in that movie.
He certainly did, and it's such a great movie about, you know, getting this inheritance, if he can stay the night in the house, and he thinks the house is haunted, and it's a very funny movie.
Yeah, I might watch that again here tonight.
Oh, there you go. We've set you up. Hey, thanks.
After you guys go off.
Oh, that's well. You got to hear this Iran conversation between Matt and Pastor Craig.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be.
On Matt's show, yeah.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that at 10 o'clock.
I don't want to see no pistol flying.
Yeah, well, you never know. It could be. Thank goodness we've got some state lines in between them.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye.
And again, phone lines are open here tonight, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to call in if you like. I think very few people think outside the box and do things outside the box. They take the safe route. And I don't think that's always good. I think, or the financial route. I think they take the financial route, and, you know, that's fine, I guess. But those people always seem to be less fulfilled to me. They don't seem as happy. They get to the end of their life and they go, well, I should have done this, I should have done that. And they didn't.
Well, to each their own, I guess. You know, if that's what you want to do with your with your time, then by all means.
Well, I don't know that it is what they want to do with their time, I think was the point I was driving at there. I think they do it because that's what they think they should be doing. That's why people get married. That's why people take certain job opportunities. That's why people dress certain ways. It's why people do everything. It's because they feel they should have kids. That's another one. They feel they should. And I don't know that it's always, it's the right choice for some people, but I don't think it's always the right choice for all people.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can make the wrong choice. I didn't say it was always the right choice. I said that to each their own, basically. Everybody does what they do.
Right, but I think it's the minority that does the off-the-beaten-path thing.
Well, if it wasn't the minority that did the off-the-beaten-path, it wouldn't be off-the-beaten-path, now would it?
Well, I think it would.
Well, no, because if the majority was doing it, it wouldn't be. It would no longer be off the beaten. It would be the beaten path.
No, the beaten path is going to be the thing that people have done for years, and there's no way to ever take that back. So even if the majority of people were doing different things now, I still think it would be off the beaten path.
I don't know about that.
See, you're doing the common thing. Disagreeable, as always. Phone lines are open. Does anybody understand what I? So I always have to do it by Friday night. You're just cooked.
You're
disagreeable by Friday.
I think your logic doesn't make sense there.
Well, no, because off the beaten path is the thing that's maybe not the easiest thing to do. The majority of people could do not the easiest thing to do. Why couldn't they? I just don't think they do.
Which is why...
Right, but it still could be not easy, and more people could be doing it. That doesn't mean it's the minority.
I'm just saying, if the majority of people were doing the thing that you said was off the beaten path, it wouldn't be off the beaten path because the majority of people are doing it. It'd be more.
Okay, here's my point. If everybody was working at Meijer, okay, and then somebody came up and they said, "Hey, come out here and sell painted seashells in the parking lot." And only 10 people did that. That's off the beaten path. But if 90 people of the 100 people who work there went out and did it, it's still off the beaten path. It's not the common thing to do. The common thing to do is work at Meijer and wear your little outfit and help customers and get the big paycheck at the end of the week. It's not to try to sell painted seashells in the parking lot to people. So even if there's a lot of people...
But more people are selling these...
Yeah, you could say the majority of people are now doing it, but it's still off the beaten path. It's not the normal thing to do.
If the majority of people are doing it, it's probably the normal thing to do.
So you think normal means that the majority of people are doing it?
That I do believe that's what you would refer to normal as, yes.
No, common, yes. But normal, I don't know. No, I think normal. Because now I think more people do abnormal things than the normal thing. Like, wait, if... nobody had a cell phone 25 years ago. Very few people.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what? Not common then. But now it's what?
Normal.
Is it?
To have a cell phone? Yes, it's normal.
No, it's right. It's normal. But is it off the beaten path still for those people in those days who didn't? Older people, a lot of older people still don't have cell phones. So are they now the oddity?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I mean, everybody else got a phone.
You're wrong, but that's okay.
All right.
Times just changed.
Yeah, and you didn't change with the times, meaning you were left behind. You either got to get with the times
or
left behind.
So you're saying changing with the times is the normal thing to do?
Probably, I guess.
So what if you don't?
If the times are changing, look, when people say the times are changing, that means like society made a change, and society as a whole has to make a change for that to happen.
Right, but they're still the same thing.
well, just it's just normal now, whereas it wasn't before.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I don't have a cell phone.
There you go.
I don't need
that crap.
Well, do you think you're the abnormal now?
No, I think I'm normal. Everybody else is nuts.
There you go.
Well, you know, the people who think that everybody else is nuts and they're the normal ones are the ones who are nuts.
But that's what
everybody
you think.
Everybody I know is always on that phone. My Eve comes in here. She's here for 3 hours a day. You think she can stay off the phone? I have to politely say things to her about that.
And
I go out to the store and I got to hear everybody else's conversation.
Oh, I'm not big on the public phone conversations. If I'm taking a phone call, I like to be private.
No, but this
When you are in public and you make a phone call, if somebody can hear you, I think that's disturbing the peace. If you're in Walmart and somebody calls you, you go outside there and take your phone call.
Not even. I probably wouldn't call you until I got back in my car. I tend to agree with you on that
but
one.
You think
there's no reason I should have to hear your conversation.
But
at
you
least
think,
one right. side of it.
But you think it's normal because you never were in a world where it wasn't normal.
Well, yeah.
But to him, our caller here, it's completely normal.
Well, times have changed.
No, times didn't change. People changed what they did. It's just different generations. Do you want your grandmother to dress like your girlfriend? I mean, it's strange. Huh?
When I graduated in 79, there was no computers and there was no cell phones.
There you go. And like I said, do you want your grandmother to dress like your girlfriend? Probably not. You want grandma to change with the times?
Well, maybe she might get a little bit in the nursing home or something.
That's right. She'll end up in a padded room. There you go. So you have to stay where you were.
Hey, both of my grandparents have phones and use computers.
I got a computer going now that...
Well, look at
I'm
that.
With,
well, there you go.
Sometimes I'm ready to throw that across the room.
But I just think the arts are always going to be off the beaten path. And one of the reasons they always will be the minority is there's fewer positions. You know, most people do something and fail. Even today, people who start these little podcasts, eventually they just run out of steam very quick. Most people aren't in them for the long haul.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, that's why it's the minority. It's not because most people don't do it. It's because it's more difficult.
If you're one of those guys, Trump will hire you and put you in his cabinet.
You could be in the press corps.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, thank you.
Yep.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Like running for office. More people run for office now than ever before, I think. But I wouldn't say that that's off the beaten path. I mean, running for office has always been there. It's pretty much the same as it always has been.
It's not the normal thing to do.
It certainly is very... You know how many people now say, have you ever thought about running for office? Yes.
If you talk to your average person, they have not run for office. Your average person doesn't even really care about politics.
Right, because there are... Well, I think you're in the wrong group. Maybe you just have an abnormal group you hang with. Because most people I talk to, that's all they want to talk about.
I mean, they have opinions, but like they're... I don't know. I have to ask them.
The groups that I'm with, that's all they want to talk about.
And none of them, well, I won't say none of them, but a lot of the people I talk to don't even vote. So I don't
yeah,
know,
but like
I don't
your
know
group also, your group's got some interesting opinions on the whole that I think are very strange.
Well, not my group.
They're your people, your friends.
Well, that doesn't mean I endorse their beliefs. I have my own beliefs.
No, but you know, that changed over time because if people used to say something that was... out of place. I'm trying to think of the right word to use here. Well, if you would say something that was anti-Semitic, Pastor and I talk about this all the time. If you would say something that's anti-Semitic, or you would say something that's racist, you know, that was called to, whoa, the friendship's over. I can't deal with that. That is a line too far. That's not a line too far now for people. People will say those words and make those statements in public. It's become commonplace. That, to me, is very abnormal. And even if the majority of people did it, and it seems like they do now, it still would be abnormal to me. I would never call that normal. That's the normal thing to do.
Well, I mean, normal...
Language is another one.
Normal,
I would say more people.
Good.
I would say more people now use profanity. It just in the workplace. Tattoos, there's another one. I don't think times changed. I don't think that happened. I think people now are more removed. They're more depressed.
What do you mean times changed?
Public. Isn't that what I said?
No,
times change.
You said times did not change. People change, and I said that. Right, times change. Times change. What? What time? What time doesn't change?
What time? What effect of time changing caused people to get more tattoos?
It's just an expression that means people change. Society is now different than it was before.
So what
happened?
Times
have changed.
So what? Well, how did society change?
Well, I mean, you know.
What change in society sparked tattoos?
Well, I don't know about spark tattoos, but I mean, I know, like, you know, I mean, they, I mean, it's pretty convenient that after they started using profanity and things like that a lot more in TV and things, that, oh, look at that, now it's a lot more commonplace in you know, just the public, and,
I don't think that's true. I don't think you can blame that on the media.
Well,
I think
not people were, specifically I think people, the media, I think it's just one of the many things. I mean, hasn't helped.
I think it's people's parents. I blame a lot of that on the parents.
I think social media has been a detriment.
It used to be. I don't think social media has anything to do. Matter of fact, I think less people talk because of social media.
Yeah, that's why I think it's been a detriment.
Well, but that has nothing to do with the language that I'm talking about. I'm talking about people's horrible, horrible language. And they do that because the parents never stop them. Your parents used to stop you if you used bad language, and they'd stop you early enough to where you would know that if you heard a word like that, you certainly knew you wouldn't say it at school. You certainly wouldn't say it in mixed company. There are places you wouldn't do it at work. By the way, find an older person at work and see how much profanity they use, and you will just see a big generation gap.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
But again, that has nothing to do with the time that has changed. That has to do with the way people behave. That's a behavioral change.
Again, times have changed is just an expression. Time cannot actually change. Time is always going to be the same. It's just a...
Right, so what do you mean when you say time has changed?
Society has changed. Things are different now.
I don't know. Wasn't that what I said?
You just said times haven't changed. Things are different now.
No, because I don't even know what it means. That's what I'm saying. I don't believe times have changed. I believe the way people act, behaviors have changed.
Yes. Yeah. Times have changed.
But I don't think that makes it common. I don't think that makes it right. I think as we look down through history, it'll be bad.
Common, normal, and things like that are not. That doesn't mean good. There are plenty of things that have been normal that aren't.
Like now, everybody wants to Google everything. Definitions. People are not always speaking literally. Everything's literal now. Everything is absolutely literal. Because people have this desire to either prove you wrong or have no idea what you're saying. You know, like trivia we did earlier. People can look up so much stuff now. There was a day where you actually had to know. You just had to know. You couldn't at your fingertips find the answer. You just had to know. And that's gone.
There were encyclopedias.
What are you going to do, find an encyclopedia? You're in the car on your way to work, listening to the radio, and the trivia comes on, you're going to pull over and find an encyclopedia?
Well, if you're in your car and you're listening to the
radio... Encyclopedias didn't work like that.
You're not supposed to be on your phone anyways.
If I would have said... No, I'm saying... Well, they are.
Well,
if
you're supposed to be, so...
If I would have said... what was Captain Kangaroo's real name? You think you're going to find that in the encyclopedia?
So encyclopedia is like knowledge.
Right. Well, that's trivia as anything. Could be any. You never knew what they were going to ask. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But, anyway. See, like, this whole conversation is pointless to me.
Well, most conversations are pointless.
I don't think that's true.
If you want to know, I don't know, but I mean,
most conversations are pointless.
There's no real depth in any.
There are in the conversations I'm having. See, I don't do small talk well. I don't like small talk. Never did.
Well, I don't like it, but it's one of those, I don't know.
See, you're the norm. No. If I'm talking to somebody, I'm going to either point out something that I see, bring up something that means something. I'm not going to do the small talk. Very rare occasions will I ever do the small talk.
Well, sometimes small talk is I don't know. Like I said, I think it's the, I don't know, courteous, polite kind of thing to do.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Go ahead.
Yeah, Matt, do you know what Mr. Whipple used to say?
I don't know who that is.
Find an encyclopedia.
Don't squeeze the Charmin.
Yeah.
That was a
long-time spokesperson for Charmin toilet paper.
Yep.
See, I know that.
Times have changed, didn't they?
Times have changed. That's right. Times are... Do you understand this conversation?
Oh, I don't know if you're right on that. I think Matt's got a little bit more right there.
What's that?
That times has changed when people's attitude changed, but, you know.
Well, I think attitude...
Like in the 50s when Elvis was shaking his hips. Nowadays, they can be up there playing with their goddamn junk.
Yeah, but you know the thing is, I read a book in sociology, which is absolutely true. It's called The Way We Never Were. People remember the times like they never really were. You know, that people have this time when nobody had a lock on their door, and everybody was Ozzie and Harriet, and Mom...
Yeah, but you embellish
it's the rose-tinted glass.
Yeah, but it was never that way.
Yeah,
it was
past,
never
yeah.
that way.
You always remember the past better than what
right.
it was.
And profanity was always there. It's not like you didn't hear those words. It's just people had a better grasp on where to use them and where not. And people lost their social sobriety.
And every time somebody dies, they say... He was such a nice guy, he'd give you the shirt off his back.
Yeah. Well, now we just crash the dead. We just go right in on them. We don't care. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. See, times have changed. We don't even know what that means.
People know what it means. It's not my fault that you don't know what it means.
Well, you just said it wasn't a thing.
What?
You said times have changed. It's just an expression. Doesn't really mean anything.
No! Times have changed. It's an expression. It means...
You're nuts.
That, like, like, people have changed.
You're insane.
Things are not the same.
Well, no, things are never the same. How could they be the same?
I mean, like large changes.
What's a large change? How big does a change have to be for it to be a large change?
Well, over the course of a while, small...
What's a while? How big's a while?
Well,
you gotta give me some hard facts here.
I mean, it depends on how fast we make changes, I guess.
So what if a change happens in, like, a year?
Like what?
Anything.
Well, I mean, I guess it would depend on, like... Again, I mean, it's usually like a culmination of things. It's like a whole culture shift kind of a thing.
Okay, how long does that take?
I mean, like, I don't know, the Vietnam era was a whole, like, thing.
To what? What did we culture shift?
No, there was, like, I don't know, like, culture wars, I don't know what you want to call it. There's a term there, I just can't think of it. Like, there were, you know, the hippies and that kind of a thing.
So what was the original point that you were trying to make here tonight?
I don't even know where we started at this, to be honest.
Well, I was talking about Adam's slot on the program as an extra
uh-huh.
is not the common thing to do. And I like that people don't do the common things. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, ask Google what that expression means.
What expression?
Times
have changed?
Yeah, see, nobody knows.
See what Google says about it.
I think it's a colloquialism.
I think it's a good thing you didn't stay in psychology. Or you just read a book and now you're the professor.
Why is that?
When you read that book, now you're the professor.
Yeah, I think you go right ahead.
Times have changed is an idiom meaning the current situation, societal norms, or technology is fundamentally different from how things were in the past.
Technology?
Is one of the things listed, yeah.
Well, normally technology is what derives times of change. You know, it's always... We don't build ships like they built the Titanic anymore. Times have changed. We put more lifeboats on than what they used to, although we have inflatable lifeboats anymore.
So, like, if a woman wears a skirt now, is that now uncommon?
In today's society, it can be. Women used to always wear skirts years ago, you know. In the 50s, women wore skirts. That was just it. I bet 80% of them wore skirts.
Well, I think a lot of this depends on where you are, you know. I think if you were in big cities, it always is different than if you are in small towns.
Or if you're in a bar.
Well, there you go.
What I like is a, you know, girl going out shopping at Myers or something, got a real short skirt on, you know, showing herself. I don't think that's quite the place I would, if she was my wife, I'd want her to be wearing that, but if we was at a party and I wanted everybody else to eat their heart out, maybe, you know. But
well, I don't know. I just like that people do the unnormal thing. And I believe, people can disagree, but I believe that normal is the thing that is common, not necessarily
the mind of what, you know, the generation is doing.
Right, right. Well, this generation, like, they don't go to college like the generation before. There was a generation where they said, you need to go to college. And it gave a whole group an inferiority complex.
You know, plus college is so expensive anymore. People leave college, or sometimes they don't even graduate, and they're thousands of dollars in debt. And I'm with Bernie Sanders. Community colleges ought to be free. That's one thing, a staying up. Our society has to stay up with the times. We can't let China and all those countries where they take school serious, they do exercises and stuff, you know, before school. I mean, we really want to make it harder for people to get an education?
Well, you have to wonder.
Yeah.
I think there's not a desire like there was, and that's sad. But,
yeah,
you know,
that's true, too.
That's the way it goes. Thanks for calling. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Women running for office. Totally uncommon. Now, more common.
Still the still not, like, incredibly common.
But no, it doesn't shock anybody. Nobody goes, oh, my God. Woman running for office.
Oh, well, yeah, no. I mean, yes.
But that was the way.
It's a norm, I guess, to have a woman running.
Right, but it's not the majority.
No.
There you go. Told you. I think I proved my point.
In the majority of elections, there are women running. Which makes
I don't know if that's true. I think it's very interesting that down in Texas, Jasmine Crockett did not win the primary. I think that was interesting. Lost her own Democratic primary. And in the beginning, she looked like the front runner in that particular race.
Well, who'd she lose to?
Oh, what's that guy's name? He begins with a T. He was on Colbert and all these shows. Go ahead, caller.
That's the way it was with Mary Ellen.
There you go.
A lot of times women weren't even on school boards back then.
Well, right. That's how she ran. She said, a woman needs to be on the school board. That was the whole slogan. You couldn't do that today.
No, that got her start, and then she got a job at that license bureau to get her name out there. But, you know, back then, when you seen a woman run, you know, who's that, you know?
Right.
But that was, are they serious, you know?
Divorces used to be uncommon.
Oh, it used to be. You get shunned if you were Catholic.
Not anymore.
You shunned you if you got divorced. A lot of people stayed divorced. Or stayed married, even if they was, you know, running around with other partners that didn't hardly see each other.
You can go right through the drive-thru window now.
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't matter. I'll tell you.
Here to Vegas.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. You know, I told somebody the other day, see, now this is terrible because they said, are you just doing this? Do you get material for the show? Well, I don't think they're listening, so I can say it. I said that they lacked sympathy and empathy, and they did not like that at all. Boy, that got a nasty reaction.
Well, I mean, I don't think you'd get a positive reaction out of that.
No, I didn't think it was a compliment, but I also didn't think it was such a heavy-duty shot. I mean, I think there are worse things you could say about somebody.
Well, I'm sure there are.
And it was just an honest opinion. Do you not want an honest opinion? See, I don't do small talk. I wanted to give an honest opinion.
If somebody asked you for your opinion, I think you should give an honest opinion. That's
well, nobody asked, but I just...
Oh, well, I wouldn't...
The conversation was going in that direction, in my opinion.
I think
and
don't
I
ask,
thought,
don't tell is always a good thing.
Well, that's not true, because you wouldn't say anything. How many times do people specifically ask you something? Not very often.
Yeah, well, that's why I guess maybe that's why I don't have very many deep conversations. I don't go around talking to people. I make people come talk to me usually.
Well, I feel people should know things.
Well, I
think
agree.
That's very important.
I think people should know things. Knowing things is important.
And by the way, the phones are open. What do you think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Let's discuss it. I think it's all very fascinating stuff.
When are you going to let me steal all the books that you have?
Well, I guess
they're not stealing. You're giving them to me. But when are you going to give me all those books you got?
Well, they're in there. They're in they're in totes in the garage. They've been there forever.
Totes, multiples.
Totes. Yeah. Well, I was in college for a while. But it was fun. I mean, I don't remember college being a bad thing at all. Isn't that weird? How a whole time in your life, like a block time, you can't really... I mean, I remember certain things about it, but nothing bad.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know. I know a lot of people, like, college was like their favorite time on Earth.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was fun, but I'm saying it wasn't a stressor at all.
I thought you were saying, like, for some reason you can't remember anything about
it. No, I remember it. I'm just saying it wasn't... There was nothing bad. There was nothing...
Well, what do you expect? What would you
People were stressed out.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, people still stress out.
Right. Well, I was saying, I did not have that experience in college. I don't remember, if it happened, being stressed or pushed to the wall or anything like that. And it was a long period of time. I mean, I got my degree. So I don't remember it being a big thing. I don't remember it being... But I don't remember high school being bad either.
I don't remember the percentage, but did you know a large percentage of college kids are on, like, anxiety medication?
Well, there you go. So that's the norm.
I don't think that's good.
Well, it's the norm, though, so just deal with it.
I think maybe we should prescribe less anxiety medication.
Well, no. We like the norm. Times change. Times are changing. Times have changed.
Oh.
That's common, now let's go with it.
Well, look, again, common doesn't mean good. Sports gambling is common now. I'm personally not a fan of sports gambling.
I don't think that's common. I don't think the majority... Oh, no.
If you're ever watching a sporting event, I guarantee you, you're going to see about 1,400 ads for sports gambling. Yeah, now, I don't know that, like, it's...
Well, that means they need people. If they didn't need people, they wouldn't be running the spots so much.
If they didn't have people, they wouldn't have the advertising money to run it on all these sports
games.
Well,
they must need more people. They must feel they haven't got everybody.
Well, they also run a lot of like you sign up, and when you sign up, you pay, like, basically you have to place a $5 bet with your own $5, but then they give you like 200 like free dollars to bet with.
I don't understand sport gambling. To me, just is no fun.
Look, I'm not big on gambling because if you could make money gambling, casinos wouldn't exist. The house always wins.
Well, yeah. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, people seem to think you can...
But some people win, too.
Well, I mean,
they don't always win.
Well, if they always won, casinos wouldn't...
No, not always.
It's a rigged game.
Well, no. But people do win, so the house doesn't always win.
If the house... The house always comes out on top.
As a whole?
Yes,
but
as
not,
a whole.
Not person to person.
Like all the time, I'll have, like, there are people in my family who like to go to, like, on a bingo or the casinos and things, and they'll always be like, I won, you know, X amount of dollars. I'm like, that's cool. That's, you know, that's good and all, but how many dollars are you down over the course of your lifetime going to this place?
Well, if you're...
The same thing with the lottery. People always,
if you're a compulsive gambler...
People will, like...
Some people aren't compulsive, though.
People will buy, like, lottery tickets, be like, oh, I won $50. I'm like, yeah, but you bought it, like, you buy $20 lottery tickets all the time. You're probably down thousands of dollars.
But you gotta spend your money on something. That's what everybody... What are you gonna do? Take it with you? No.
Yeah, well...
No, you're not gonna take it with you. So the point is, nobody... I think 100% of people don't take it with
you. Bury me with my money.
No, it doesn't happen. So the point is, you're gonna spend it on something, or you're gonna give it to someone. It's gonna end up somewhere else, and if nowhere else, it's gonna end up with the government.
If I got 2 cents, I want those 2 pennies in my coffin.
But that's a trait of somebody who has seen, we've been through this, who has seen financial troubles. If you've seen financial troubles, you put a lot more stake in money. It's very, that is true. If you find somebody who's very the love of money, like Mary Ellen will tell you that she never cared about the salary that she was making. Never thought of it, never cared, would have done the job for free.
Yes. I mean, we have a whole group of her saying that she would have done it for free, but don't tell them that.
Right. But that's the point. because I don't think Mary Ellen grew up, because I know where she grew up, I've seen where she grew up, I don't think she grew up in a finance, like, if you ask her what the Great Depression was like for her, it's not a bad time. She didn't grow up in a situation that was financially difficult. So I don't think she has that perspective. I don't think money means a whole lot to her. So that, but if you have somebody who grew up where you constantly saw financial issues, then I think it means a lot to you. It becomes much more of a, because the people who you saw, again, parents, valued it because they didn't have it. You value things you don't have.
I get. Oh yeah, I mean, I could. I don't know about value. I mean, you know, you always want what you can't have. That
like
kind
if,
of
if
thing.
You're if you if you're if you grew up and your father was dead, you always, well, I wonder what my father would have been like. I wish I would have known my father. Well, people who've had their father, some people had terrible fathers. They wish they wouldn't have had a father. They don't have that same issue. So it's just like that.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, I think a lot of there's a term for that. It wouldn't be egoism, determinism.
Well, you just want what you don't have. It's simple.
Well,
but in the end, it doesn't make it right.
That's not determinism.
Nobody looks at it logically. Logically, you can't take anything with you. It's going to go somewhere. So what's the point? And all people who were like money-oriented died very unhappy. I don't know. Not to say all rich people died unhappy, because again, some people have done very well, but they weren't driven by the money. I think 90% of people who have done well weren't driven by the money. You have to love what you do, and then the money's a byproduct. If you hate what you do, you wouldn't be successful at it.
I'd agree, yeah. By and large, yeah.
And people don't realize how close they are to being wiped out. Everybody thinks they have it all figured out. One stock market crash, one big illness, and you could be wiped out. I've seen it happen. People who own property, people who have big savings accounts, people who have big retirements, and here comes one little illness, one little trip to the doctor one day, and everything they had saved all their life, poof, gone.
That's what that with the universal health care.
Well, that's why people want it, so that doesn't happen.
Well, I'm down for the universal health care.
But a lot of people don't like that.
Well, it costs a lot of money.
Because that puts everybody on the same level.
Well, it costs a lot of money. It's expensive to give free health care.
Well, do you want to lose everything, or do you not want to lose everything?
Well, I'm a fan of the free health care, so... I'm even a fan of mixed health care, I'll give you that.
It's very different. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, say if you owned a mall 30 years ago, that would have been a good asset. Nowadays, if you own a mall, you might have to pay for the cost of demolishing it.
They can't even afford to turn on the sign anymore.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
Yep.
So coming up next hour, you're going to talk about Iran?
Oh, it's already over.
Well, when you come late like that, that's what happens.
Yes, next hour,
Joe blows right by
I'm
when you
going
show up.
To talk about Iran.
Iran coming up next hour, maybe a call in from Pastor Craig. I'm sure he sees it totally different than you do.
Well, I don't know how much of it's going to actually be about the war. I mean, it's more about like the voting of the war powers.
Do you think it was a good idea?
Like what?
To go into Iran?
No.
Okay, well then you and Pastor Craig see it differently. I'll tell you that. All right, so stay tuned for that coming up in 15 minutes for this night. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Was no. Which was pretty much my bozo laugh. And my wife said, "You're not going to believe this, but three kids just stood on their chairs and started looking around."
I love it.
But the bozo voice was right about here. And it was a lot more adenoidal than mine.